This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, I don't know why that happened. I ended up playing three songs in little pieces and then decided, no, the machine was buggered up. All right, we're back. It's live Monday morning, 7:15. Wow. All right, let's get into it. Mubs has got some news headlines for us, and we'll talk about a bunch of different things. Ben had a really exciting weekend that he also wants to share with us.
Yeah, it was incredibly exciting, Gareth, yes.
Mm-hmm. But Mubs, first, over to you. Let's see what you can teach us this
morning. Are you sure you don't want to start with exciting news first? I mean, I've only got news headlines.
All right, go for it, Ben. All right, let's hear about your weekend. I saw some posts on social media that really looked like you were having the best time ever.
Yeah, so 3.2 million rand raised over the weekend.
For who?
No, wait. Yeah. For Gary Player's Foundation's beneficiaries. So this whole Gary Player Invitational thing, it's about certain events around the world where money is raised, and 3.2 million was raised just this weekend at Sun City. Just pretty incredible.
Cool.
And like, there was this big gala dinner on the Saturday, on the Friday night. Yeah, the Friday night, and the huge auction for these massive items. Like, really lots of people who were just well healed, as they say. But the whole event was just so many, like, nice people coming together to do nice things. You know, we spoke at the start of the show about not being rude and just trying to be nicer. This whole weekend just felt like everybody was in a happy mood. They were all doing good things. So this whole golf and giving is like a global thing that's the Player Foundation started.
Huh.
And it's cool to see. Like, you know, we joke about these mega celebrities often. But to see how much good can come out of these things, it really is quite something.
Hmm.
So I felt better just from that. Plus, I had a great time interviewing sports stars. I got to play golf. It was just the coolest weekend. It really was.
Fantastic.
So if you didn't do anything for the world this weekend, 3.2 million, put that in your pipe and smoke it if you ever have any doubts about the greatness of Mr. Gary Player.
Very, very nice. Terrific.
Like you, Sia.
Yeah. Do I doubt Mr. Gary Player?
I think sometimes you do. I pick it up.
Oh, what?
It's okay. You're young. You'll learn.
Okay. I'll get my ways proper and correct. Thank you, Ben.
All right.
But I'm so exhausted now, though, from trying to... Cause, you know, I took the VR camera with me as well. Oh, yeah. So I was trying to film some virtual reality stuff. I did some drone stuff around the palace yesterday, which was really fun. I got like the most amazing footage. But I'm so exhausted from charging things, putting SD cards here and there, converting things, uploading things. Like, making videos is the toughest thing in the whole world. I admire anybody who's ever made videos. Like, when you write an article, it's so easy. You go to a place, you remember what happened, you write. So easy. Or when you talk about it, so easy. When you actually got to make videos, and I haven't even got to the editing part yet. So I'm exhausted after the easy part, which is just shooting.
Mm. All right. Sounds like you had a lovely time.
So if I pass out on Wednesday, you know why.
And did you spend some time with Gary Player?
Yeah, as we arrived.
That's what everybody wants to know.
As we arrived, see, Gary does one-on-ones with the big TV networks, and then you get like a media table where you sit and you get to talk. And Gary was, you know, very giving of his time, as he always is. Yes. And he went through his sort of current gospel, which took about 10 minutes. And I asked him a few questions, and yeah, he's always giving frank answers, which is kind of cool. So all of this Thursday on the Bounce Show right here, you're going to hear all my interviews, which
fantastic.
I need to cut up because I've got audio for days.
All right. Sounds,
saw tons
sounds
of people
terrific.
There. Yeah, Sonia Booth was there.
Yeah, so who knows? Sonia Booth can actually play golf pretty well.
Really?
I interviewed her husband. Best interview ever. It looked so good. But then my lapel mic didn't take any of the audio in.
Oh,
so embarrassing. But I realized why, Sia. This is why.
Because okay,
because the lapel mic had 10 minutes to Gary Player, it needed a breather. It took in so much brilliance and greatness that it couldn't actually record any more audio for the day. So then, embarrassingly, I went back and Matthew was forthcoming enough to give me another interview, which was also very good.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Nice so people. It's always the worst thing when you have to go up to someone and say, hey, listen, I need to do that whole interview we did again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And everyone goes, oh, yeah, but it happens. But you don't want it to happen because, like, I double, triple checked the thing worked, did a little sound check, everything was perfect. And it just didn't, it just, again, it was just overawed by the greatness of Mr. Gary Player.
Oh, okay.
That I couldn't actually process anything.
What do you call him when you're talking to him?
You, Mr. Player, like anyone else, yeah?
Oh, okay, sorry. Well,
you with the stupid questions.
Oh, let me not
you think I'm just going to roll and then go, hey, Gaddy, how's it, Butch?
You're out of Gaza, hey. We don't know.
I think I've met him once. I called him Gary. He didn't look so upset with me.
Well, He's not going to get upset with you, but you should do better, Gareth.
All right, okay. Oh. I'm disrespectful. All right, Mavs, let's get into some news.
Okay, who is ready for a new political party? Oh, yay!
No. Haven't we got enough shitty political parties?
No, we don't, Gareth, because you can always have one more. And former ANC MP Makosi Khoza is planning to do exactly that. She was speaking to the City Press over the weekend ahead of the launch of her new party named Change. Khoza said this organization would learn from the failures of parties such as COPE and AGANG, who didn't really do such a good job. The inaugural Congress of Change will take place this coming Friday and Saturday in Gauteng. The party will see the merger of a number of local organizations, including the Metsimaholo Civic Association and the Forum for Service Delivery. There are a couple of former members from your EFFs and the like who are going to be joining Makosi Khoza.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, she said that at the founding congress, they will figure out how the merger is going to work and look. She says they have limited delegation numbers to a maximum of 100. Each organization will send 2 to 5 representatives. The party will push for changes in the political landscape. Khoza also said that members would advocate that the president and deputy president to be elected directly by the people of South Africa. Huh. But first you'll have to win
votes. Would you vote for her? I mean, if you call your party Change, what happens when you've made the change? Do you still call your party Change or you go, fine now?
Then you rebrand.
Would you vote for her?
I don't know. I have a terrible attitude to all political parties at the moment. So much so that I...
I hesitate to say it, but you won't vote.
I am slowly starting to talk myself into just not voting because it's that dire for me.
Yeah, why should you be part of the problem?
Right?
Well, where's the solution?
Politicians.
Who is the solution?
Us. You and me, Mubs.
So I don't know, Dr. Makosi Khoza can go ahead and launch her party.
Yeah,
I don't know that, you know, it will suddenly change my mind.
Let's see what happens.
Why did she have to launch her own?
I know.
As opposed to what?
I don't know.
Making a difference in an established party?
Yeah.
Because now this seems just like a vanity project. Like, I get it. You want change. That's really great. But how realistic is it?
But which party? Because if she's launching her own, to me, that sounds like
she
doesn't...
She would never have left the ANC and joined one of the existing parties. Yeah. That would never have happened.
But
she said as much.
It's not a smart move. Because we know what's going to happen. We're going to be swept up, lest we forget how we felt when COPE came around.
I won't forget.
And that
I'll
bright
never forget.
Orange gave us
I'm
hope.
I'm so embarrassed about the way I voted for them. No. It'll never happen to me again.
I think everyone was.
Yeah, everyone was.
I'm done.
All 12 of you were terribly embarrassed.
Shut up, all right?
To this day when you meet once a year and cry.
We do.
You see, so we'll be swept up in the change.
And also, like Mub said, like this name, it doesn't seem like it's got longevity.
I don't know.
It sounds like a pop-up store in a mall.
Let's see what happens here. Give her a chance. If she can make things happen, if she can rally enough powerful people to her cause, if she can get the numbers, then she deserves support. And it's probably better than anything we've already got.
Also
just
true.
Because it's different.
Yeah.
All right, what else is there?
Okay, so Robert Mugabe's nephew has been speaking to the media, giving them updates on how his uncle is apparently doing.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, apparently he says that old Bob is in good health and he's quite jovial after being forced to resign when a military takeover ended his city 7 years in power.
He's got a new lease on life, huh?
I think the reason that the nephew is speaking out about this is because a couple of days ago there were news reports about how Mugabe had apparently been in tears when he was pushed out.
Sad to see a 93-year-old in tears.
And then a day or two later, you've got the nephew saying, oh, no, he's quite jovial, actually. In his own words, the nephew said, he's fine, I have been to see him, he is quite jovial. He is actually looking forward to his new life, farming, staying at the rural home. He's taken it well. Now, Leo Mugabe is the name of the nephew, And he was then asked a question about an apparent $10 million retirement bonus, which was reportedly granted to the 93-year-old as part of the deal to persuade him to leave. But the nephew declined to discuss any of that. Must be nice being paid to leave, huh? $10 million.
I think $10 million is nothing compared to what he's already ferried out of the country into Swiss banks.
Sure.
And at 93, what do you need $10 million for?
I don't know, Ben, but he's...
Like, he's already stolen so much. A defibrillator.
Well, maybe...
Adult diapers don't cost that much.
No,
at this stage, he's bought everything. Trust me, he's bought everything at 93.
He doesn't need it. Grace needs the $10 million. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just be frank about that, okay?
All right, here are some points of view from some people after we had our conversation about Makosi Kwaza's new party. Mm-hmm. Roman from the Renegade Report says, the more people do not vote, the less of a mandate the government has, and its legitimacy is reduced. More people shouldn't vote.
Okay, Roman.
We know he's an anarchist, though, right?
Yes, we do.
The Renegade Report a few months ago said that she would start a party, and in... Sorry, that was unfrankly speaking. And in 2019, the ANC would get less than 50% of the national vote, and then she would create a coalition with them in order for the ANC to again get the majority vote. So don't get too excited.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, people said that about the EFF as well, though.
Mm. That they were actually there as a kind of distraction. That they'd eventually come around and rally around and help the ANC. Adi van Heerden was placed in the top 10 at Miss World last week. She now becomes Miss SA.
That's the Miss SA runner-up.
Oh, wow. So you mean Demi Lee can't be Miss SA and Miss Universe, so she has to become Miss Universe?
Oh, it's so confusing.
She can't possibly be both.
And then someone says, is there a Miss Africa?
I don't know.
To some variation, there is.
Didn't Emmett have a face of Africa, and then she was... I don't know. Again, this is so difficult.
No, that was a modeling competition. That was for supermodels.
And then to go back to your question about Mugabe or your news story about Mugabe, someone says, morning guys, only listening to your Friday podcasts now. I almost pissed myself laughing thinking about Mugabe being on a Hollywood set and not knowing it. There we go. Back to you, Mubs.
The South Korean president's office revealed yesterday that they are going to begin a review of the country's 64-year-old law to ban abortion. The announcement came after more than 230,000 South Koreans filed a petition calling for the abolishment of the law. Now, back in 1953, South Korea criminalized abortion when its leaders wanted to boost the population. And, you know, their intention was to build an army powerful enough to fend off its rival North Korea.
What a thing to do to people. I mean, this is where you see how evil governments are. You force people to have unwanted children. So you make it illegal to have abortions just so you can have bodies to put into your army.
Exactly.
Gosses, it's just so evil, right?
It is revolting, actually.
But you tell women and men, if you make a mistake and you end up impregnating your wife or your girlfriend, or you get some guy to sleep with you and you didn't know and you end up pregnant, you no longer have any choice. You have to have that child. Why? Because we need armies. Outrageous. How was that ever okay to humans?
Different time, different rules.
Yeah, like we said earlier about history.
So then in 1973, with the population growth strong, the country drew up exceptions to the abortion law, such as where the mother's health is at risk, where the baby is to be born with severe birth defects, or if the pregnancy was caused by a sexual crime. So they had exceptions for that. But now many public health experts in South Korea pushed for changes in the abortion law, and they faced opposition from a strong pro-life lobby in a country with one of Asia's largest percentages of Christians. But now it would seem that they're all prepared to go back to the drawing board to see if they can just scrap this whole law entirely.
Let people, you know, if you can decide to make a child, you can decide not to have it. It's that simple. It should be that simple. And as long as it's within a period of time that doctors agree is an acceptable time to terminate. And remember, there aren't 100% agreements among doctors in that respect. But if you and your doctor on an individual ad hoc basis go into a discussion, you say, doc, I think I'm like a couple of weeks pregnant. I don't want to have this child. There are safe ways to do that now. rather than to bring an unwanted child into the world. What a thing to do. What a legacy to leave to some small, innocent infant. Just seems like the cruelest thing that a human being could do. I mean, terminating it before it's born, you know, you can get into philosophical discussions about this, and I don't have a hard and fast position. I really don't. Except that it should be up to the woman. She's the one who has to bear this child for 9 months and then have to look after it for another 18 years. That's no small contract. Would you go into a contract of employment with someone without your lawyer looking at it, especially if it was 18,000 pages long?
No, that's a lifelong contract.
Correct. Well, there we go. Lifelong. Even longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Just be very careful what you tell people to do if you're a government. Always rather let them decide for themselves. Always. Even if they make a mistake, they've made the mistake. It's their decision. It's their life. Government deciding for you. Who would want to give up that right? Let some government decide what they should and shouldn't do.
Did anybody see this video, apparently, of Malia Obama smoking? Is she smoking weed or whatever?
You know, people are just annoying.
Because apparently there's a video that surfaced of her smoking, and like people are shocked and horrified because how dare she at 19 years old, first year in university. So Chelsea Clinton and Ivanka Trump, of all people, very quickly came to her defense on Twitter after the video on Friday seemed to show her blowing smoke rings in a bathroom.
So what?
Exactly! She's 19! The daughter of former President Bill Clinton and presidential candidate had this to say. Malia Obama's private life as a young woman, a college student, a private citizen, should not be your clickbait. Be better. And then Ivanka Trump saying Malia Obama should be allowed the same privacy as her school-aged peers. She is a young adult and a private citizen and should be off limits.
Yes.
Because I don't know why people are upset with Malia Obama smoking.
imagine the kind of people who are. Like if you're a person who finds like the ex-president of the United States' daughter smoking to be a problem in your life, you don't have enough problems.
Like, really?
You don't have enough problems.
You don't.
In this case, we can even look over whoever would stoop as low as to record Malia in her private capacity.
Yeah, I want to know who that person is. Because you know they were like, I'm going to sell this for millions.
As bad as that is, we can sort of look over it because, folks,
it's sort of like revenge porn.
You are grown people sitting out here judging this 19-year-old. What were you doing at 19? And it's not as if she's on her Instagram posting this proudly. No, she was in her private capacity having fun with her circle. Ugh, y'all, some people are nasty.
Yeah, they are. It's horrible. Leave this girl. Leave Malia alone.
These are the instances which make First Lady Michelle Obama's comments make sense, where she says she would never run for president herself because she'd never take her kids through what they had to go through with Barack being in the White House.
And what she's really saying there is Barack was a selfish bastard.
No. It's this sort of scrutiny.
He did.
No.
Yes.
Not again.
No, I don't like this at all. First of all, everybody deserves a little bit of privacy, particularly when you're the child of a politician. You're not the politician themselves, right?
Yeah.
If you decide to run for office, yes, sure. You're opening yourself up to this. And everybody's going to go and look through your life and find all kinds of things that they probably will think is salacious and interesting and all the rest of it. Not your children. Doesn't seem right to me that your children should be pulled into it. And furthermore, who still gets upset about a teenager, especially in the late teens, early 20s, smoking? Smoking a cigarette, smoking weed, smoking anything. Of course, it's bad for their health, but who the hell put you in the position of Surgeon General? Who decided you're the one who's going to tell the rest of us that we need healthy lungs? What if I don't want healthy lungs? What if I'm not interested in your dumb rules? And I say this as a non-smoker who doesn't particularly like other people smoking, but it's not my business. So how come I can figure that out and you can't?
You're right. People don't have enough problems in their lives.
I mean, leave these kids. These are kids. They don't even... you have nothing to do with them. You've never met them. They're not breathing their secondhand smoke on you. And if she gets a little high on some weed, so what? There are places in the world where that's legal.
Yeah, there are parts of, which states in the U.S.?
Colorado.
Are there, is it
California,
now legal?
Oregon. Washington State. I think there are a couple of them now. But even if it wasn't legal, how about just letting people do what they want to do, trusting that they might do the right thing after all? It's not like she's become a stoner. God, I mean, these kids have lived under a microscope for how long?
Mm-hmm.
8 years that they were in that White House. Leave them alone. Get on with your own life, dummies.
Okay, so you mentioned this earlier. Let's get into the details of exactly why all of this is happening. This would be the Democratic Alliance now calling on MultiChoice to...
I'm exasperated already.
Could you?
Imagine Moosey outside. Here's TV, take it off your bouquet, because it affects only rich people.
They want them to publicly release the full details of the contract that it's entered with ANN7, which we all know is Gupta-owned. It says all records prior to contract negotiations should also be made public. This follows the latest revelations in the Gupta leaks about questionable payments that were made by MultiChoice to ANN7, as well as the involvement of the former communications minister, Faith Mutambi. So apparently,
it might be interesting. I mean, maybe we should know.
Apparently, MultiChoice made a dodgy payment of 25 million rand to ANN7.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
They also increased its annual payment to ANN7 from 50 million rand to just over 140 million rand. Amabungani is reporting that in September of 2015, MultiChoice paid millions of rands to ANN7, and it just all seems a little bit dodgy.
I don't understand. Why would MultiChoice be paying to host the channel? The only way I can figure this out is that MultiChoice gets to sell airtime on ANN7. ANN7, in the meantime, goes to government and says, no one else will advertise with us, so will you. You know, Transnet, Telkom, SAA, SABC. You advertise with us. Mm-hmm. New Age Breakfast, that kind of thing. Then they say, sure. So government money goes to MultiChoice. Then MultiChoice has to pay it out to ANN7. So they're not paying for ANN7. They're giving them their ad revenue that they've managed to sell. Right? I think that's how it must work.
Well, at the time, ANN7 was trying to win a slice of DSTV's new audience.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they had those teething problems in the beginning. You remember their content, like the quality of their content was a little bit suspect. And they received a lot of heavy criticism. Mm. Now, it is reported that the questionable payments took place following a transfer of powers where then Faith Mutambi controversially pushed through a decision in favor of unencrypted set-top boxes, which benefited MultiChoice. Now, the DA are not alone in this, because I see here also that the EFF, they also announced that they're going to report MultiChoice to the Competition Commission to investigate how the company influenced policy on these set-top boxes. So, I don't know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, maybe we should check them out. I just hate the DA being the, like, brrr, they blow that whistle.
Everybody come and look.
Somebody's got to blow
I
the whistle.
I saw someone being naughty.
All right.
What,
don't you want to talk to me anymore?
No. Yeah, because Amphia already mentioned how Jeff Bezos is now in the 100 billion rand dollar bracket, right?
Oh, my God. He's in the $100 billion bracket.
And this is all thanks to...
your Amazon shares.
Yep.
The share price of Amazon. It's
Black Friday stock surge.
Oh, I'm sure. Did anyone do any Black Friday? We haven't caught up. Amanda, you were going to try some Black Friday stuff, weren't you? You said that you might. You hadn't made your mind up yet.
I did go to the shops, but I couldn't even get into the parking. So...
you just turn around and go home?
I just turned around. But then, like... they make a fuss about it on Friday, but it was actually the whole weekend.
Yeah, I discovered that as well.
Today is Cyber Monday.
What does that mean?
Exactly. What does it really mean? It just means that all the other crap products are now just flogging online.
Right. So, in other words, if you were stupid enough to like... Did you see that video I posted on Instagram of those people breaking through that shop front to get in?
No, I didn't see
it. Oh, let me show you this. This is hysterical.
I did. I saw a video where people were basically... It looked like a stampede.
Oh, yeah.
Like people were being trampled on...
So, look at this quickly.
It's very dangerous. Yes,
so, there, look at that. See my buddy's reaction. To people, they break the glass of the doors.
Oh,
they push
dear.
Things open.
Oh, no.
And the noises are just unbelievable. It's like people screaming.
But why?
Because they think they're going to get a TV at half the price. They already have a TV, but they're going to get another one. It's what we were talking about with Amanda the other day. Isn't that crazy?
Oh,
huh?
I don't understand.
What's that all about? Anyway, I stayed the hell away from the shops. I went to do some grocery shopping yesterday, and I was very trepidatious. I kind of pulled into the parking lot because I saw it was kind of empty. I ran in, bought what I needed, and I ran out again.
There were people who were in queues for over an hour on Black Friday.
Can you imagine?
So you got to see, those people just don't actually... value their time whatsoever. So they're going to go save maybe 20% on an item.
Yeah, but their time's probably worthless.
Exactly. Well, they're confirming that.
Yeah. They regard themselves and their time as being a worthless thing. All right. Well, Black Friday's over, and I hope you didn't spend a whole lot of money you didn't have, because that would not be a good move.
But that's life, Gareth. Can't tell people what to do. But you know how we always say that people of a slightly larger frame should maybe have a different sort of payment category in planes?
Yeah.
Well, there's actually been a poll.
Yeah.
So jetcost.co.uk is a low flight, low cost airline aggregator, basically.
Yes.
And they've done a poll where they surveyed 2,494 people, and 80% of them said that overweight passengers should be allocated a seat in a separate area with bigger chairs at a much inflated cost.
Okay. You know what? Fine if you don't want to sit with them. But why at an inflated cost? How does that affect you and your flying on that airline? Why,
take up more space and they weigh more.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds to me almost like weight apartheid, you know?
But this is exactly what it is, because we've always said that maybe they should just pay extra because, you know, when it comes to the whole baggage thing. But these people take it to another level. They want fat class actually in a plane.
Yeah, it sounds mean.
Exactly, that's mean-spirited.
Well, the British are mean, Mavs, because...
Oh, it's the British. Oh, well, that explains everything.
The British, because 68% of Germans said no, they do not want a separate fat class area.
Mm.
So the Germans are much nicer people.
Mm-hmm. I could have told you that. Yeah. Except when they're at war.
Well, that was a long time ago, Gareth. That's a long time ago. We all go through phases, don't we?
Sure, of course.
So, all right. 72% of of French people... believes in fat people pay more money.
You don't have to be mean though, right? Yeah. You don't have to.
This is what the survey has revealed about how people look at their air travel.
Yeah. I think, look, for me it's a question of fairness. If I'm going to be charged extra for my overweight luggage...
Well, it comes down to that, yeah.
Right, then you should be charged extra for your overweightness. But I don't think that we should have separate areas. And certainly if you're so big that you don't fit in the one seat, then you need to take responsibility for that. But that's not my problem. And if you end up taking up two seats next to me, as long as you're not taking up the seat that I'm in, I'm happy with that.
Look, if you're taking up two seats, then you're paying for the two seats.
Well, yes. You would think, although some people try to wedge themselves and squeeze themselves in. You've seen that happen, right? You know what I mean. That makes it a little bit different. All right, Sia, you probably have the best opinion on this because you're not mean.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we got Rich this morning?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Rich Mulholland because we don't want to run out of time here. He's on the line on Skype. He's coming to us live this morning. It's time for a reality check, everybody. On a Monday. Hey, Rich, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great. What's on your mind today?
Well, Black Friday is on my mind. And, you know, happy Cyber Monday, everyone.
Are you going to buy anything?
I actually am. So, funny enough, I was on my shopping cart as I was listening to you guys. My friend runs a business. And here's a funny ethical dilemma I had. Yeah. So, my friend runs an online business. Probably know Nick Harry does socks and stuff.
Yeah.
And he sent out a special this morning. And I was thinking, am I being a douche by buying his product when it's on special? Should I not be a real friend and wait until tomorrow and pay full price?
No. You'd be an idiot.
Well, for sure, but I also want to support my friend, right? So, so I almost wanted to message him and say, "Dude, are you still making money?
Yeah.
You know, if I buy today, is it helping?" But anyway, it's a weird dilemma. So, right. Black Friday happened, and obviously, we've probably seen videos of people, and they behaved in ways that that are quite crazy when you watch the videos. But what made me quite surprised is how upset people were getting, you know, shaking their head at these videos of these people running into these stores trying to get a bargain.
Yes.
But I kind of feel like being upset is crazy because we pay a lot of people less for a month's work than many of us spend in a weekend. And then we shake our heads when they storm into shops to get a bargain. Like, I think you have to stop and for a second. Now, I get that not everyone's going out there buying, you know, food and stuff. And maybe people are buying things that they don't need. But that's another debate. It's the idea that somebody cares so much. If you didn't care that much to run into a shop to queue to get something, it's because you're paid a certain amount to not to care about a 10% discount.
Right.
Meanwhile, the middle class equivalent, and to me it is definitely equivalent, the same very people who were sending around these videos on Facebook of people savagely behaving in Walmart and in shops even locally, are staying awake until midnight and then refreshing Take-A-Lot. Refresh to see what kind of bargain they can get. And it's exactly the same thing. You know, we even broke the store, Take-A-Lot went down. And still we have the audacity to complain about other people, which I think is insane. But actually, I want to address a different part of the issue.
So hang on, it's a kind of hypocrisy again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely think it's a hypocrisy. It's just that because we're not storming through the doors of a physical store and breaking, you know, there's people, there was a thing, I think it was a game or somewhere, a video went around, and people were storming into the store and they broke the security thing and they knocked over the baskets. But,
In other words, it's okay to mock the poor for going into the shop, but you don't mock the rich for sitting at home and taking down the whole website by trying to find bargains.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what they did, right? They went onto their websites, and granted, it wasn't just rich people going onto websites, but they stormed onto this website, mm-hmm. and they broke it by the sheer volumes of people storming through the doors.
Right.
And then they complained about how ridiculous the store was. This would be like blaming Checkers for how bad they were when people knocked over their trolleys. And I get this not completely analogous, but the mindset of the consumer is the same. And we're very, right. very quick to judge other people. But actually, I want to address the Black Friday haters.
Okay.
Firstly, yes, as I said, people are going into debt for stuff they don't need, and I totally get that. But a lot of people are also getting stuff that they actually need at a great price. And I'd read a story online the other day about a 26-year-old multimillionaire that makes his living buying stuff when it goes on special from Walmart, then selling it the next week in Amazon. He's got like 20 people who work for him. He's a genius. It's a massive business.
He buys on Walmart and then resells on Amazon.
Yeah, so he'll go into, say, a Black Friday sale, and he'll have people, and they'll be waiting at stores, and they'll run in, and he'll buy TVs. And so one of the things he buys is holiday things. So at the end of the year, when the Halloween is finished, there's all these Halloween sales. Just after Christmas, there's all these Christmas decoration sales.
All right.
So he buys them, and he warehouses them, and then he sells, he buys them at a fraction of the price, and then he sells them in the month leading up to Christmas the following year on Amazon for a fortune. But he'll just do that in general. So he'll go into Walmart, who've bought so much stuff that they've got to actually sell below cost. Like, funny enough, Take-A-Lot did last year or the year before. They're actually selling stuff cheaper than cost in order to move it to create critical mass. He would buy that stuff, and then he would sell it again.
Wow.
And, this is what people do on Black Friday as well. They can buy something, they can store it, and they can sell it.
That is very clever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great article. I'm gonna tag you. So I'll mail it to you or tag you in it. It's very worth looking at.
All right.
Anyway. The real rant for me for today is people hating for what it seems to be the most ridiculous reason. And that is because it's American. And why are we even doing it? We're not American. These are the same people that a few weeks ago were watching fireworks on Guy Fawkes or dressing up as ghosts on Halloween. Right? These aren't our holidays. We stole them as well. Right? It wasn't Guy Fawkes didn't blow up our parliamentary buildings.
Yeah.
My only regret, and in fact my biggest regret about this whole thing, is that we didn't steal the holiday wholesale, that we took the dessert and left the main course behind. To me, the main course of this whole holiday, and instead of fighting the fact that it's American, I think we should embrace that it's a bloody good thing, is this idea of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Thanksgiving was a holiday that was started, I think, in Pennsylvania when they had an amazing crop this one year, if I'm not mistaken, at least in the American context. I know it went much longer or went way before that in European context. But in the American context, there was an amazing crop, and the people actually met and had a festival to give thanks for such a bountiful crop or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing. And the whole idea of American Thanksgiving is people get together with their families, because the rest of the time often they might be with friends and stuff. And they sit down, and it's not about giving gifts. It's not about anything other than the fact that we sit down, we have an amazing meal together, and we say thank you for everything that's going well in our life. How phenomenal is that?
Yeah, you see, this goes back to that whole idea of gratitude. So instead of taking that part of it, we take the part where you can take instead of where you give.
Right, and I think that's the only travesty here.
So it makes, that doesn't just make us unoriginal, it also makes us shittier.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We're stealing the shittiest bit of the holiday. You know, the holiday's hangover, right? Because that's what Black Friday and Cyber Monday are. And yeah. You'll see, if you're in the States we were in the States 2 years ago over Black Friday and Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like a five-day, I mean, it's just a spend fest. And we're taking that aspect of it. It's like having the whole run-up to Christmas. The whole run-up to Christmas, buying, doing, thingy, everything, all the shops, all those bloody carols. They're killing me already. And all of those things, and then not bothering to have a day. Now, I'm not a religious guy, but the idea of me getting together with my family and that's having special. A lovely, you know, that's a all beautiful right. thing.
So, come on, let's get into it then. What are you grateful about? Someone actually challenged us about this the other day. Like, everybody name one thing that you're grateful about today, because it's easy for us to sit and bitch and moan, and we complain about, you know, the politics and the economy and all this kind of thing. But actually, we've all got more than one reason. I started the show this morning by saying, you really shouldn't complain about Mondays, because it's December soon and you're going to have a holiday and you're going to get to spend some time with your family and friends. That's one thing we could be grateful about.
I mean, in this context of this call, I'm really grateful that you and the team have given me an opportunity to actually come in and give my views every week.
Yeah, you
Giving me a voice and a microphone.
Yeah, well, we're grateful that you make this contribution. How about you, Mubs? Anything to be grateful about?
I am always grateful for the fact that I don't have to depend on someone financially.
Yeah, that's a big deal. You're in the tiniest minority of people on the planet, if you could say that. Mm. You, Sia?
Oh, my goodness. I'm actually looking at, because I keep my gratitude journal on my phone as well.
You see.
So there's a whole list of things. But you guys, no one roll your eyes.
No one judges.
As I read.
Go for it. It's what you're grateful about. It's got nothing to do with us.
Thank you. I'm grateful for my breath. That's what I said this morning. I'm grateful for not allowing things to stress me.
Get a pillow, Rich. This might take a while.
I'm grateful for growing more into myself and who I am genuinely. Uh-huh. And then as I was here this morning talking to all of you, I actually noted down that I'm grateful for your calming aura, because sometimes you guys, you know, center me. So I really am grateful for all of you.
All right, and moving on, Ben, over to you.
Well, I'm grateful that I'll be 36 on Saturday.
Yeah. There
are many times in this world where I could have died and not been here. But, you know, on Saturday, I will be another year older. How cool is that?
All right, and you, Amanda, what about you?
I'm grateful for the life I'm living at the moment.
Oh.
So, yeah.
You're loving it. Yeah. You like being Amanda.
I feel like I'm living my best life at the moment. So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. I mean, how many people could say that, Rich?
I mean, this is what it's all about. I think it's amazing. And Ben, happy All Gold tomato sauce birthday, man.
Yeah,
that's my favorite birthday, because you get to that 36.
Yeah. See, just one more thing to do.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, guys, so I think my kind of challenge now, and this is what we're going to do next year as a team, right? We can rope in Good Things guy Brent Lindekew.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to force people next year at this time, because we know Black Friday is going to happen. We know Cyber Monday is going to happen. We're going to force people on the Thursday before to invite their loved ones over and to have a Thanksgiving
That's
lunch.
Great. Yeah, let's do it. Let's steal the whole goddamn thing, not just pieces
of it. They did it in Liberia. in Africa. Yeah. If the Liberians can do it, fuck it. So can we.
Yeah.
Have a fantastic week, everybody.
Thank you, Rich. Rich Mulholland, everyone. There we go. How's that?
Mm.
Don't you feel good after sharing all that stuff?
Yes. Huh?
You feel good after finding reasons to be pleased about the world instead of things to be upset about? Yay. And Christmas is coming. Huh? Da, 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 da. You want some carols?
Yeah.
You want some Christmas
it's
music?
It's not too early.
Oh, it is too early.
No,
I can't.
And we have a whole, you know, Mariah Carey, Michael Bublé, Boney M.
Really? Are you in that mood?
We're spoiled for choice. I went out last night for dinner and just seeing all the Christmas lights out. And it's not nice. Too much. Yeah.
All right, fine. One song. One Yay! Christmas song. All
right. Oh. Oh, is this your version of Christmas?
One Christmas song, just one.
Christmas, give it away.
And it's not even a whole one. Just a little bit.
Special.
Right? There we go, see ya, just for you.
This Christmas,
oh, no!
I'll eat and I'll fart. Then the very next day, I'll do it again. It's clear that this time of year, I eat without reservation. Last Christmas, I ate like a pig, all the ice cream and beef and the gravy and cream. Chicken, pudding and sauce, chocolates and Christmas turkey.
All right, there we go. That's all you're going to get.
All right.
All right.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
When we come back, Archbishop Thabo Makgwaaba.
And news?
Oh, and news. Yes, we'll do that. Don't worry. That's next.
I looked over to the left. I was looking so good, I couldn't check myself. I looked over to the left.
All right. So coming up, an interview with Archbishop Thabo Makgwaaba. He is, of course, the Archbishop of Cape Town, Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town, successor to Jongonkulu Ndungane and to Desmond Tutu before then. He was also Madiba's own lay pastor, especially during the latter years of his life. So he has some interesting stories to tell in his new book, which is called Faith and Courage. So take a listen to that. That's coming up in a moment. First, it's time for the unnews. Demi Lee Nell Peters is the new Miss Universe. She now gets to meet the Masters of the Universe, and if all goes well, she may just marry He-Man. She says she intends to keep her name, though, which would mean she would then go by the name of Demi Lee Nell Peters Man. Bob Mugabe spent his first weekend as a normal Zimbabwean citizen at his luxury country retreat. He said he's looking forward to this new chapter in his life. Grace, on the other hand, spent the weekend sliding into all of Emmerson Mnangagwa's DMs. This new life really isn't for her. And finally, the Ashes have begun with a predictable loss for England. They aren't too fazed, though. They're expecting to get thrashed and are just happy to be away from home right now, where the weather is terrible and the family obligations start to pile up around the festive season. That's what you need to know today. And thank you for joining us. We will see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.